It's really good to be here, and I'd like to share with you some of my experiences since we went to Papua New Guinea about 7 years ago. Firstly, I wonder, if I were to ask you your definition of a missionary, I wonder what you'd tell me. Perhaps some of you would say that it was someone who had left their home and loved ones, etc., etc., the usual phrases, and gone overseas to serve the Lord. And so it is. Perhaps some of you would say it's someone who's going to give out the gospel. So it is. And perhaps others would say, you know, that you've put your profession aside, or that you're prepared to face danger. Well, all these things are true. Some of you might not give a missionary such a wrap-up as that. So I won't ask for definitions, but I'd just like you to think today about the missionary when he or she goes overseas, particularly for the first time. And I'd like you to think of them as people, just like yourself. Sometimes people at home get the impression that the missionary is somewhere up there. Well, I can tell you I've been working with missionaries now for 7 years and none of them are up there. Not a one. For example, when you first go to the mission field and your fellow missionary takes you and shows you your residence, you walk in the door and you hear scuttle, scuttle, scuttle across the floor and something racing across through the ceiling, and you think, oh dear, what's that? And they say, oh, that's the cockroaches. And they say, oh, and what's that? Oh, that's the rats. Oh, all right. And so we, in our first circular, we write this kind of thing home to you. And so you have some kind of an understanding of the rats and the cockroaches or whatever it might be that's the immediate problem when you get to the mission field. But what we don't write home and tell you is that eventually, you see, we get to live with the cockroaches and the rats quite happily. But there are some other things that are hard to live with. And these are some of the lessons that we need to learn. The thing that might be hardest to live with might be your fellow missionary. You see, like I said, they are all human. And you can get accustomed to rats and cockroaches. But if you have to live on the same station with a missionary, and you're just not getting on too well, well, that's a problem. And when you write your circular home and you write and you pray and you ask for prayer, you never put that in because it doesn't look very good on paper, you see. But it's nonetheless a truth, because missionaries are plain straight out ordinary people. If you have an assembly or a church that you attend and there's some lady there that, well, you just don't get on terribly well with, you can avoid her. You can be polite and say hello to her at the proper times, but you don't have to live with her for 7 days a week. You don't have to work with her. You don't have to come to all your decisions with her. And so living on a mission station on a compound can be quite a humiliating and a trying experience. So when you pray for the missionary, and when you read the missionary circulars, keep these things in mind. Learning a language. It takes more than just scholastic ability to be able to learn a language. You see, you might have been very effective spiritually when you were at home. You perhaps went door knocking, or you were a rally leader or whatever, and you saw many people converted. And you get on the boat or the plane and you go overseas, and for some considerable time you can't even speak the language. You can't even say hello properly, let alone expound the scriptures or give the gospel or something else. So you see, this is another area that missionaries need your prayer in the settling in period, is in the learning of a language. And it's at this time too that doubts arise about your call, because you knew that back in Adamstown or back in Sydney or wherever you came from, that, my word, you've seen quite a few people converted and you were able to help people with their difficulties, and you get up there and it's not quite the same at all. You can't do that. So you think, really, I'd be much more effective back home. So when you pray for missionaries, especially those going out for the first time, you can think along these lines. As you're praying that they will learn the language properly, ask the Lord too that they might learn humility and learn the lessons that God has for them. Think of a nurse going out for the first time. Often, nurses who go out have got 2, 3, or 4 certificates. Maybe they're assistant matrons or whatever. They get to the mission field and it's the nurse aide who's, you know, probably only had about 4 or 6 years formal education. And she's saying, oh, no, you don't do it like that. You do it like this. And the stinging point is that she is probably right. You see, all your medical experience back here doesn't really count for something in another country where the medicine and the diseases are something that you have never heard of. We hear about leprosy, but to differentiate between leprosy and perhaps some grilly or skin fungus is something else. And so the assistant matron or the sister with 2 or 3 certificates is kind of reduced when she finds out that the nurse aide knows so much more than what she does. Another thing that I have found, and I'm sure all missionaries have found this, before you go overseas, hello Margaret, before you go overseas, you're kind of up here, as I said before, spiritually. You've given up your house, your car, your caravan, your yacht, and all these other necessities. You've given them all up, you see, and you've gone overseas. And people at home tend to pat you on the back, and perhaps so they might. But then, on the other hand, when you get to the mission field, the other missionaries there, you see, they've all done the same too. So there aren't too many pats on the back. So your morale kind of drops a little. And so pray for missionaries when they settle in, along this line too. Also, when you go up as a new missio, you have all these new ideas. You see, when I went to New Guinea, if only all those older missionaries would have listened to me, by now New Guinea would have been converted, holus bolus, and the place would have been turned upside down. But they wouldn't listen. Boy, am I glad they didn't. You see, you go out with new ideas, you get there, and you find these missionaries don't necessarily approve, and you think to yourself, boy, they're just as deadly as those saints back home. But the truth of the matter is that, you see, they know the culture better. They are a little older and a little wiser. And it is hard to learn some of these things. It's very hard to learn the humiliating lessons that need to be learned when you're a new missionary. So when you pray for missionaries and you ask that that the Lord will be with them and give them spiritual discernment and wisdom and patience. I need patience. I'll tell you later, we've got 14 kids at our place. So when they give you the list, I want you to put at the bottom of it humility. Because without humility, the missionary is never going to learn how to be effective. Without humility. You see, a missionary will never ask you to pray that she might have humility, because we all hope that you assume that we've already got it. And without it, we can be very, very ineffective in the Lord's business. So do pray for missionaries, and as you pray, even if they haven't asked you to, you can be sure that they need it. Put humility at the bottom, because with that, they will be much more effective in the Lord's service. The Lord has given me a wonderful verse. It's found in Isaiah. It says something like this: I have chosen thee, and so for iron I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll give thee gold. And I think so often we have got good things in our life, you know, iron or brass, something that does count. But you see, the Lord wants to change this and make it a better product. He wants to take what is already there and refine it into something much more worthy for his glory. I have chosen thee, and so for iron I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll give thee gold. So if you're going to pray for me, which I hope you will do, I'd like you to put that humility on the bottom of the list, put it on the top of the list, but put it there. So that in my service for the Lord, I want to be effective in the work that he has called me to do. Now, I think perhaps, just briefly, I'd like to share with you the kind of work that I have been involved in the last 12 months. We went to Papua New Guinea, as I said, over 7 years ago, and spent 6 years of that time at a place called Angugunak, which is in the Sepik district in New Guinea. My husband was doing the work of a mechanic, travelling around from station to station and doing mechanical maintenance, and I was lecturing, or trying to, in the Angugunak hospital, lecturing nurse aides. And we were doing that, as I said, for some years. And at the beginning of this year, became very, very evident that the Lord was sort of shunting us out of our little rut that we all tend to get in. Even missionaries get in a rut. I heard a good definition of a rut. It was a grave with both ends kicked out. I thought that's pretty good. And you see, some of us do get in a rut, and the Lord sort of began to push us out. And he called us to a job that I had always said that Gabriel himself would have to come and stand in the doorway and tell me in very plain terminology that that was the Lord's will. Well, Gabriel didn't come. But the Lord nonetheless made it very clear to us of the kind of work that he wanted us to do. And lo and behold, it was working with missionaries' kids. Now you might think that missionaries' kids, you know, well, they're missionaries' kids. That's just the point. They are missionaries' kids. And we have found that this year has been the most tremendous year that I think I have ever put in anywhere. We came from Angugunak to Wewak with no experience whatsoever in working with teenagers and young children. And yet, this year the Lord has done things whereof we are glad, and we praise him for it. We have a hostel, we have two hostels in Wewak for the children of missionaries. Both hostels are side by side. One is called Hibiscus Hostel, the other is called Coralita Hostel. And my husband and myself have been the hostel parents at Coralita. Now we have found, somewhat to our surprise, that not all missionaries' children are particularly thrilled about being missionaries' children, and some of them, plain straight out, hate it. And this was quite a surprise to me. See, I was dumb enough to assume that, you know, these kids all enjoyed being where they were. Well, believe you me, they don't all enjoy it. Let me tell you about one girl who came from New Zealand. She's 16. At the beginning of this year, her parents, for the first time, came to the mission field. And to put it in her words, she said, "My parents at 16 pull me up away from all my friends, and they bring me to a foreign country. They dump me with a bunch of strangers," meaning hostile parents, "and they go off to the bush." And she said, "and the books say that at 16 I'm supposed to need mum and dad, and they've left me stranded." Well, she's got a point, hasn't she? She she's got a point. So this is another thing that you might just like to pray for, is missionaries' kids. The story doesn't end there. This girl was later expressing her grievances to all the other kids at school, and she wrote a poem, and it was a scorcher. And she passed it on to the girl sitting next to her. And this girl said, do you really feel like that? She said, yes, I do. That's just how I feel. And this other girl said, well, it's high time you got converted. And with that, she did. And the Lord just came into her life and changed her attitude in such a way that all the talking and all the persuasion would never do. And so, you see, her parents now too are tremendously thrilled. This was one of the biggest things that they had to consider when they came to the mission field, was, what are we doing the right thing? But I believe the scriptures are very clear when they say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Their daughter, who had been a problem and a trouble at home, has now accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and just before we came away, she was baptized. And so, that was just the feeling of one girl. Another girl that I was talking to when we first went there, she was very upset one afternoon, and one of the other girls from her room came and said, Auntie Rory, that's what the kids call me, would you go and see so-and-so? And I said, all right. What's the matter with her? And they said, she's crying. And, you know, we'd only been there for about 2 or 3 weeks, and crying teenagers, and, you know, I wasn't very good about it with that kind of thing. So I went in there and I said to this girl, what's the matter? Tell me what's the matter. And she said, I don't talk to hostile parents. I said, oh, right. We know where we stand. So she was on her bed crying, and I said, look, you just move over, because I'm not going to leave until you do tell me, and I'm not going to stand here all day. So with that, and after a long silence, this girl unburdened just exactly how she felt about being a missionary's child. And she said, do you realise that for nearly all my life I've been on the mission field, and that for half of my life I've been away from my parents? And she told me just how she felt about having spent 7 or 8 years away from mum and dad for her education. And it was a real thrill to talk with this girl and to try and help her to see that she was part of the Lord's call, only part. Her parents had been called, and she should consider it an honour. And it was a real thrill to me, as the weeks turned into months, to see this girl gradually change her attitude. And now, for other reasons, her parents have to go home to New Zealand. And she said to me, I don't want to go. I want to stay. So we were really thrilled about that. It's not all bad. Some of the kids really love it. We had a rather embarrassing episode once when a mother rang me. She'd been out in the bush, and her young daughter had, you know, was away from home for the first time, and she was just 13, and her mother was all uptight, and, you know, and her mother rang me and she said, will you go and tell so-and-so that there's a plane coming in, and she can get the plane and come home for the weekend and then be back in time for school on Monday. And I said, beauty, I'll go and tell her. So I went down to the high school where she was, and I said, your mum said that you can go home for the weekend. She said, oh no. Alright? And she said, you go and tell mum that I don't want to. I said, no way, you go and tell her. By the time she got to the phone, I'd talked her into going home for the weekend. Why am I telling you this? Simply that you will my burden now is for the missionary's children. I want you to pray for missionary's children. It's a big thing for parents to be separated from their kids for many months at a time. I know what it's like. Before we went to be hostel parents, we had to say goodbye to our daughter, who was 7 years out of age, when she went out to the hostel. And I thought, boy, I really, really tossed up at that stage whether I ought to be on mission field or not. Not knowing, of course, what plans the Lord had in store for us to be together again at a later date. But remember the cost involved for the parents and for the children, and pray for them. Our hostel at present is being looked after by another young couple. I'd like you to pray for them too, Ken and Anne Riddell of Sydney. Some of you may know them. Pray for them. It's, as I said, been an exciting year. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. We've seen the Lord move in small ways in sometimes and in big ways. We've seen some of the children who've been converted through the hostel move into the high school and witness there. So remember this kind of work, won't you? Pray too for me as I try to deal with the little ones. You see, the kiddies come to the hostel when they're 7 or 8, and they might be there until they're 17 or 18, so we've got quite a wide age group. And although it was the teenagers originally who really threw me, I sort of wondered how I'd cope with a lot of teenagers, because our children were only very small. I found that, it's one thing to talk to teenagers because they can kind of express how they feel, and sometimes they really express how they feel. But for the little ones, if we're not very careful, they tend to get, just put to the side a bit. They sort of get lost in the crowd. And yet they, some of them, 7 and 8, and they need a lot of tender, loving care. And we want to take the place as best as possible of mum and dad. We found that if the children are happy in the hostel, inevitably mum and dad are happy in their situation. If the kids aren't happy, mum and dad aren't happy. And so it's most important that the children are happy. How am I going for time? I think I'm just about up. All right. I wonder if I could have a commercial. Is that okay if I do a commercial? I'm wondering if there are any of you here from your assembly or whatever who would be interested in getting involved in a missionary project. Now, I'm not going to ask you to sew singlets or pack food parcels or whatever it is you've been doing. We appreciate that very much. But I'm wondering if some of you would be involved in another project which is quite different from what you've ever done before. I'll just give you some idea. And if you are interested in this, I wonder if some of you might come and see me after this meeting. Is there something on after? That's okay. I wondered if perhaps some of you might come and see me about this after the meeting. I have here some photographs and a little information about the children in the hostel, or some of the children in the hostel. And I'm wondering if perhaps your group might be interested in getting involved with some of these kids, or one of these kids. And I'll tell you more about it. If you come to see me, I'll tell you the kind of involvement. But if you are interested, if you think your ladies' group might be interested, then I'd be very interested to see you and explain more fully the kind of involvement that I'd like you to have with these children. Now, just before we close in prayer, I wonder if you have any questions. I realise that many of you would be a little backward in coming forward in a larger group, but if there's something perhaps that you'd like to know, perhaps there are many others here who have the same question in their mind.